God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let man have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In his own image, God created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth. Every Christmas we sing, good Christian friends rejoice, with heart and soul and voice. Ox and ass before him bow. He is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. And the youth up there usually start giggling because they think we've sung something kind of naughty. Ox and ass. But in fact, the ox and the ass, the donkey, are as essential a part of the nativity scene as are the shepherds and the wise men and even Mary and Joseph and the baby. Why? Well, partially because of the Bible. Isaiah 1:3 says the ox, even the ox knows its owner and the donkey, the ass, its master's crib, but Israel does not know. It does not understand. That verse spawned a Christian tradition that at least goes all the way back to the 7th century that says on the third day after Jesus was born, Mary took the Christ child and placed him in a stable between the ox and the donkey. And the ox and the donkey adored him. The ox became a symbol of patience and of strength. Indeed, in Christian symbology, the ox became a symbol of Israel, waiting for the coming of the Christ. It is not happenstance that in Solomon's temple, the molten sea rested upon 12 bronze oxen. The donkey. The donkey, as Mae Rose Addleton so aptly noted in her wonderful devotional, Advent devotional this year, has been a ubiquitous presence in cultures of old and even in contemporary age. It was on a donkey that Mary, pregnant, would have ridden to Bethlehem, on a donkey that she and the Christ child would have fled Herod's crutches. It was symbolically significant that Jesus rode on Holy Week into Jerusalem on a donkey, not pulled by a chariot, not riding a steed, because in so doing, riding that donkey, he symbolized that the values of God's kingdom contradict human expectation. The donkey in Christian symbology came to represent the Gentiles and the spirit of the willingness to be servants of Christ. All manner of animals have been part of the characters of Jesus, the characters of the Nativity. Sheep. Sheep certainly have been elements of nativity scenes because, of course, when Jesus' birth was announced, God first had that wonderful news given to shepherds. But it's more than that. Sheep have to be tended. They need guidance. They need direction. Just like human beings. We are God's sheep the sheep of God's pastures. And our Lord used as the central image, he said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his friends. Many nativity scenes have made it a point to have a young male sheep, a lamb, as a part of the decorations. Because, of course, lambs were the chief sacrificial victims in the temple. And John the Baptist called our Lord the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Depending on the culture, a variety of animals have been leading characters in live nativity scenes, including camels, representative of the wise men, and even elephants. I wouldn't want to be the custodian of that manger. But all of these animals make a profound theological point beyond a narrow symbolism. They make the point that the implications of the coming of the Christ is for all of creation. The coming of the Christ is meant to unleash a restorative, transforming power that moves the entire created order in a direction that boggles our imagination. The prophet Isaiah caught wind of this 600 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah said, when the kingdom that the Messiah embodies reaches its full power and potential, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will slumber next to the goat. The ox and its calf and the lion will not look at each other with enmity. Children can play with a cobra and no harm will come. Isaiah envisioned that the coming of the Messiah unleashes a creative, restorative, transformative power that will boggle our minds and create a peace and a harmony that we cannot envision. But it is rooted in the cosmic power of the coming of the Christ that is meant to transform the whole of creation. And the amazing thing is, we are meant to have a part in it. Dr. Krimmer, we can't help usher in such a cosmic vision. Oh, yes, we can. We must. Because our God who created the universe said of humanity, I give you dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all that comes upon the earth. And that phrase deserves an entire sermon, but let me just unpack its essence. In giving us dominion, God did not give us license to destroy and manipulate. God gave us the responsibility to be stewards. The cosmos is God's, but we are meant to be stewards of our world, stewards of our environment, stewards of all that draw breath. The animals in the nativity scene, from the largest whale to the tiniest sparrow, from the fiercest rhinoceros to the gentlest butterfly, to the most beautiful snow leopard, to the ugliest toad. All of them have their place and their role and their purpose in the whole order of creation. We are to be stewards of them. The ox and the ass, the sheep and the lamb, the lion and the elephant, the dove and the wolf, they all bow in reverence before the coming of the Christ because they recognize in some cosmic sense God came for them too. And as we adorn our sanctuary on this day, we symbolize the adornment of the entire universe that is to be transformed by the coming of the Christ. And everything that draws breath upon the earth is included in God's beneficence. May we ponder that great truth as we hang the green on this day.